night on a Sunday morning being Christmas, so I've got some gifts to give out. Let's see here. This is probably my favorite gift right there in the bag, but I've got a, I got to find someone to give these to. Who we got here? Tell you what, we've got a newly engaged couple they could probably do with this. Here you go. Merry Christmas. All right. Now. All right. I need to give this away. See, I got to find someone that really could use this. Merry Christmas, Dwayne. All right, I got something else. Let's see. All right, now this is, let me tell you something about this gift right here. This gift literally is a little taste of home for me. Made in Eastern Kentucky. You can buy it at Cracker Barrel. If you ever want to get on my good side, just go to the pop section. You'll see this very clearly. Let's see, who here has a taste for Kentucky swamp water? I got to find somebody. It's the good stuff. I saw a house in hand shoot up in the air. You like swamp water. This is the best stuff in the world. Now, for everyone else, or if you've never seen this before, I'm going to go ahead and unwrap this for you. There you go. This is Alate One. It's the greatest soft drink in the history of the world. They sell it at Cracker Barrel now. Heaven has come down to earth. It's like the incarnation. Here you go. Whoa. His hand shot up. Don't take that from your little brother. You can have the gift basket, too. All right. Well, let me ask you, what did you guys have in your box? It was an iPad case. What was in it?
Some great Dove chocolate.
Dove dark chocolates, not an iPad. Someone else got an iPhone case. Dwayne, what did you get in your iPhone case?
Trying to get it open.
Yeah. It's childproof, so. What did you get in there?
It's candy.
It's candy. Some Hershey Kisses, some Dove dark chocolate. Okay. So a lot of you guys, when you saw me pull out those boxes, especially those of you who are probably not adults, got really excited. You saw that word iPhone, you saw that word iPad, and you're like, oh, come on, Pastor Nate, hit me up right now. I need some of that in my life. Some of you might maybe got an iPhone or an iPad for Christmas. But what was inside the boxes was not what was on the label. When God sent his son Jesus into the world, the Hebrew people who were waiting for the Messiah thought they would get one thing, but really, they had a completely idea of what was coming to them. They didn't understand that God was coming to be Emmanuel, God with us, not a governmental power with us to make us great again. Check out Isaiah 7, verse 14. It says this, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." Emmanuel simply means what? Read that for me. God with us. God with us is not, this idea of God with us is not a once a week thing. It's not a Sunday morning thing. It's not a once a year thing for Christmas Day. The reality of Emmanuel, God with us, is something that is eternal. It goes beyond 24/7, 365 a year. It's eternal. It's outside of time, and it is God's plan for you and I. And when you think about that, it's pretty incredible. If you take your Bibles, you don't have to right now, but if you were to take your Bibles and turn to Genesis 1 and 2, you would read that God's plan for creation was Emmanuel, God with us. But then as you read into Genesis chapter 3, you see that Adam and Eve chose to go against the law of God, and sin entered the world. And when sin entered the world, it messed up and distorted God's plan for God with us. And so here's what's really cool. God so loved humanity that he didn't just think, by the way, if you read too much into my accent, you probably just thought I said manatee, like the animal in the ocean. I did not say manatee, I said humanity. Got to keep up with me. I'm from Kentucky. I apologize. But God's plan for mankind, you're welcome. Yeah, I thought you'd appreciate that, Dirk. God's plan for mankind was to restore what was once lost in the creation to us again through the people Israel. And if you take your Bibles and you turn to Exodus 25, 8 through 9, you'll hear about God's plan to begin to restore this Emmanuel, God with us. God chose the people of Israel to be his representation to all of the rest of the world. They were supposed to be like the open book for everyone to read, to be what God had for them. But sometimes they messed it up. But look what it says in Exodus. Exodus 25, 8 through 9. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. According to all that I show you, that is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all of its furnishings, just so you shall make it. The Hebrew word dwell literally means to pitch a tent or to tabernacle. And so when God says, build me a tabernacle, literally he was saying is give me a tent. Give me a place where I can be close to you. A place where my presence can be near you. And so in this tabernacle, there was an outer court where people would make sacrifices to atone for their sin. There was two rooms in this main tent area, a room called the holy place where people would go. The priests would go and they would lead through these worship rituals with the lighting of the incense, with the lighting of candles, with the offering of bread. And then once a year on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would go into the most holy of holy places, and there he would sprinkle the blood of a sacrifice on the Ark of the Covenant on behalf of the entire people of Israel so that their sins would be forgiven. Now, it was such a serious thing that if the priest were to go into that room with anything bad in his life, with any bad attitudes or any type of hidden sin, that literally the presence of God would overtake him and kill him. And so he would go in with little bells sewed into his robe. There would be a rope tied around his ankle. And so if the other priests who were outside heard the bell stop, they would know the high priest is a goner. He's gone. Why? Because still, the holiness of God and the sinfulness of man were apart from each other. They're completely contradictory. There was nothing to bridge the gap. And so we had this tabernacle worship. And so God, here's God among his people, but in many ways, he's still at arm's length. But God still had a plan. And so if you fast forward from Exodus all the way to John chapter 1, you see the tipping point of Christ. Do you know what a tipping point is? A tipping point is a moment of time where one outcome seems inevitable, but for whatever reason, something happens to change it to another outcome altogether. If I can give you a great example of a tipping point, you just need to simply check out this video. It'll explain everything. Oh. Check it out.
Whoa, he has trouble with the snap, and the ball is free. It's picked up by Michigan State. Jalen Watts Jackson, and he scores on the last play of the game. Unbelievable.
That face, though, right? Oh, my. That is a tipping point. A moment in time where a Michigan victory seemed inevitable, but for the fact that there was a bad snap. So I'm sorry if I ruined your Christmas this morning. Merry Christmas. The Michigan State fans are like, oh, we've had an awful season this year. Thanks for making me feel good again. You're welcome for that. So there was a tipping point. The moment where momentum completely changed for one side so that they could get victory when it seemed that victory was all but at hand for them. When Jesus came into the world, it was a tipping point for all of us. Listen to what it says in John 1:14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Here's what's cool about that Greek word dwell. It literally means to tabernacle. It literally means to tent. So here we are in the Old Testament with this tabernacle worship where this presence of God resided that was in many ways unapproachable, at arm's length. And then you fast forward to John 1, and now God, his very presence, is in flesh. Amen. No longer is God dwelling amongst us, but he is walking with us. Amen. That's right. It's pretty incredible. And it goes even further from that. If you take your Bibles and you look at 1 Corinthians 6:20, it goes from God dwelling among us to God dwelling with us to God dwelling in us. Listen to what it says. Your body is the temple of this Holy Spirit who is in you. I've said this several times already this Christmas season, but when I think about the birth of Jesus, I can't help but look forward to his resurrection. And because of Christ's death on the cross and his resurrection, we have life. And that dwelling place goes from something that was unapproachable to becoming our hearts. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That word temple simply means a dwelling place, a tent. That your earthly body now becomes the place where God's presence resides. That's incredible. Listen to what it says in Hebrews 4:14 through 16. Christ now becomes the high priest of our hearts. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need. So here's what's awesome. Here's this high priest in the Old Testament who, if one thing was wrong in his heart and life, he would drop dead in the presence of God in the most holy of holy place. Now Jesus is that high priest. And he comes into our hearts and allows us to come boldly to God so that we can have a relationship once again. Emmanuel, God with us. Not just something we celebrate on one day in December. Not just something we celebrate on Sunday once a week, but a reality that we can live in every moment in our lives. Amen. So this Christmas season, simply do this. Celebrate Emmanuel, God with us. Live in that reality, and you'll be blessed. Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, thank you for this reality in your Son, that we can experience Emmanuel, God with us. Lord Jesus, if there's someone here this morning that doesn't understand that reality, your word tells us this: to as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. So Lord, if there's someone here this morning that needs to receive you today and repent and believe by faith that you are their Savior, I pray that they do that. Lord, thank you for the reality of Emmanuel, God with us. May we be blessed with that today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Nate. I'm not going